Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program that we call Satsang, a heart-to-heart communion, is being recorded for August 25th, 2018. I'm very grateful to be here. I really am. We have a lot of listeners, and I'm very grateful for their interest and their questions. Mostly, their questions fascinate me. I've always wanted an audience where we could have some kind of interchange. I do that on Saturday mornings at the Carl Cherry Center with my students. But other than that, this is really something I think very helpful, both to me and hopefully to my listeners. And I want to thank my sponsors who make all this possible. If not for their donations, their quarterly and monthly donations, you would not be listening to this radio program. This radio program would not even exist. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for their kindness. And I hope that you, those of you listening, will also understand the importance of a radio program such as this and make your donation to sustain it or become a sponsor. That would be lovely. And you can do that on a quarterly or monthly basis, whatever you like. And if you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a little button there. It says support. If you click on that, a drop-down menu will ensue, as I like to say, and that'll say something like, why support Aspire, which is a very good question. And all of your questions will be answered there, and you can sign up and become a sponsor right from there, and you will get some wonderful goodies for being a sponsor. You not only get the message of the month, which is sent each and every month about, somewhere around the 15th of the month. But you also get access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries each month, and all of the past ones that I've done, the history of them. There are loads of them for you to watch, read, and listen to. And you get 122 discourses from my past TV programs that I've done over the many years, current and past, and those are there for you to download if you like and listen to and enjoy, and hopefully they will help you. So all of that is there for being a sponsor. I hope you will become one and help us keep this thing going for as long as we both shall live. Oh, marriage vows aren't very. Okay, so here's the day. Here's what we're working on today, because I get emails about how difficult it is to change. I'm going to call this one I Can't Change. I hear it all the time. It is true. A lot of people, a lot of us human beings just can't change, won't change. Why don't we? Even for the good, we find it difficult. So I thought I'd do a radio program on that with some people that have written in. These are questions I've had for about a month or so, and I hope that they serve you well. The first question comes from Ralph, and he is one of my counselees here. He's an interesting man. He really is. I can't get into the details, but he said, put this on the radio. You see what you would. Yeah. Well, what happens here? Tell me. And, you know, even though I meet with him, he still struggles deeply. So anyway, he said it was okay to tell all that. So here we are. One of my counselees. I try and try and try, but my mind will not change. What do you think I really ought to do, Greg? Other than shoot myself, Ralph. We have a joke. If you can't, you know, get her done, get it done. And we laugh about the whole idea of starting over in a new life. And it just won't end. Ralph is a very funny person. Well, Ralph, I know you, so here we go. You don't try very hard at all. You just kind of let your mind do what it wants to do and come to the conclusions that it comes to. You enjoy the fascination of what your thoughts do and how they act and react and what they're thinking. And you like the strategy of hate and fear. You really do. You love thinking. Thinking makes you feel in control, and you've done very well in the world by thinking and doing your thinking thing. So what can I say to you? You're still fascinated by the idea of thought itself and what it can do. And I understand you, Ralph. I understand you all so well, but you have to understand yourself. Not my understanding, but your understanding has to take place. And that would look like to see the damage that is done to our lives, all of our lives, when we just sit there and let our thoughts run rampant. Now, we're going to have all sorts of thoughts about many things. Some of them are going to be kind and loving, some of them not so kind, not so loving. But if you really start to look at our thoughts and the way they work and how they work, you will see some interesting things about your thoughts and what they're really all about. They come from my and yours emotionality. And really, it's the state of our emotions we need to look at, not just the state of our thoughts. And I found great help in my own life by realizing, oh, it's my emotions that are generating these thoughts. And my emotions are all over the place. They're here, there, everywhere, and here and yonder. And they're always looking for a quick, fast, easy way to get what I want, quick, fast, easy way to appease my emotionality. They're looking for problems and situations where they can get appeased all the time, constant appeasement. We get bored, easily bored, because our emotions are in pain at all times. Now, the question is, why is my emotionality in such pain all of the time? Why? Well, a part of it, of course, is my genetic disposition, the genetics I suffer from. The genetics I have with, in my case, Ed and Jean Penn, who were my parents, and their parents' parents, and yada-da, yada-da down the line, all of that plays into the pain and the sorrow of my emotionality. And none of us feel really great about our emotions. We do, maybe for a moment here, a moment there. Somebody says something to you that's kind. Somebody says something to you that is complimentary. And then the next thing you know, ouch, you're doing it again and again and again. These emotions get appeased through food and sex and alcohol and drugs and whatever else, sports, entertainment, whatever. And then the next thing you know, they're right back to where they were. And that's what you're talking about here. They just keep coming back over and over and over again in the same old way. They send messages to the brain saying, we're unhappy down here. We're not being appeased. We're not feeling any sense of importance. So what do? We use our mind instead of for focus and concentration on maybe the way or a certain maybe difficulty we have in our worldly life, we use our minds to appease our emotionality instead of maybe finding answers to all of the difficulties we as human beings have, not only with each other, but our environment, yada-da, yada-da, but it doesn't work that way. The mind is the slave of the emotions until meditation enters in and we start to see the meaning of meditation in our life. Until I find the meaning of meditation in my life, I have not found the meaning of my life itself. And that's the key. So, what do you have to do? Well, Ralph, we've talked about this 100 times together, maybe 1,000. You've got to cut down on, guess what? The old appeasement game. And that's true for all of us. It's all right to have a piece of candy. It's not all right to have the candy to change my mood. it's all right to have what would it be? Watermelon. I love watermelon. It's okay to have a moderate slice of watermelon, but not to have it because I'm bored and I feel the urge to eat something to appease the pain and sorrow and misunderstandings that are going on in my emotions. You have to understand what a deep impression your genetics play, as well as your childhood and how you were raised. And, you know, a good boy gets a cookie, or sometimes you get a cookie for being a bad boy. You know, if you won't shut up, here, I'll give you a cookie, now go outside and play, kind of thing. All of that stuff trains the way our emotions act and react, trains the way the mind deals with those emotions, because the mind is just sitting there going, well, if you're not going to use me for focus, concentration, if you're not going to use me to awaken, I'll just sit here and be used for the way you want to use me, which is typically in the avenue of trying to sustain comfort and security, which is the only thing that most people care about. It's the only thing that most people deal with. And there you are. That is that. And that is the deal. So, Ralph, what are you going to do? It's the same answer that I give you in session, but I just thought it was fun to talk about it here on radio. And it shows you, folks, you know, no matter what I say or do, until you make the decision to do something kind and loving towards yourself, nothing I say or do will help you until you choose for yourself to awaken. When you can realize that the matter of inner attainment to love, inner attainment to the meaning of life is happening, you're not going to get it. Okay, Ralph, that's enough for today. Thank you so much. I will see you later this week for a session, and we will talk. Please forgive me. Namaste. Funny stuff. Okay, the next one comes from Jack, and he does not tell me where he lives. I'm stuck. I'm stuck needing. I don't know what to do. It's the same old things over and over and over again, Greg. Now what do I do? Am I done? Am I finished? Jack. Well, only you can decide if you're done. I can't decide that for you. I really can't. I can't look at you and say you're done. But, no, I should really explain done, huh? Done in my lingo means that you have reached the pinnacle of your own pathetic place in this world, where you're not going to go any further, you're not going to explore any deeper, you're not going to look for anything more inside yourself. You're just going to go, this is the way I am, this is how it is. I don't want to be confronted, I don't want to be challenged, I don't want to have any kind of self-examination, I don't want any of it. I want what's comfortable and easy, and show me how to get there with the mechanism that I have. But the problem is that mechanism that we have isn't going to lead us to anything that would bring about inner awakening. Not at all. So if you stay with the mechanism, you're stuck. Now, if you want to relieve yourself of that mechanism and go on to something more, shall we say, profound, you don't have to be stuck. You really don't. It means a change of life, a whole total change of life. Most of us live in the cycle of our body. So let me explain that to you. We live in the emotionality of our body. We eat, we poop, we pee, we sleep. We eat, we poop, we pee, and we sleep. That's it. Now, that is the maintenance, care, and about as far as we go with our bodies. We don't really understand them. We don't feed them what they need to be fed. And sometimes it's very hard in this world with all the chemicals and crap that's in our food. And thank you, Monsanto. And all of these things that we go through in our life with our bodies, we just make our life a routine. And it just goes around and around and around and around. It's a pure routine. Those who understand the routine and seek to live with the routine, because you got to do those things with your body, but not live for them and make them the emotional premise of your life. Now you might change some things. Maybe it would be good to sit down and expand your knowledge a little bit. Read Sapiens. Read, there's so many good books. Homo Deus, his second book. Maybe read Behave, another great book. Maybe learn about how your mind works, what your body instincts were. Maybe start to look at the bigger picture of your life a little bit. And instead of living around and around and around just to eat and pee and poop, maybe live for, in the beginning, a little knowledge gathering. Okay? Oh, my brain works this way. Oh, it will always work that way. And then start to question, do I want to live in this manner? Do I want to live with a brain and a body that live in this manner? Well, I'm going to have to live with the body the way it is, but I can change the way I think. I can change my behaviors with how I think. I can change the way I actually eat and what I actually eat. There's all sorts of things you can change, but you have to see the necessity for it. Now, most people in this world, on this planet, Jack, just want to get through. That's all it's about. They want to get from birth to death and have fun from birth to death, and that's it. That's all they want, comfort and fun. And that's a cycle too. And the biggest thing they do in their life is make a baby. And then when they make a baby, they're very proud of that, and it consumes a great deal of their time and attentions that could have been put towards other things. But we don't do that because it's a basic need to have our body be the mischief maker of our life and define what is a meaningful life. So as long as I'm living in that category, in that way, from that premise, the only thing I'm going to be doing is whatever comforts me, gives me a sense of security, that makes me feel important and essential, which is very important for both women and men. Men need to feel essential too. And this goes on and on and on until it builds an entire lifetime of doing nothing with our life but doing these quote-unquote things. And then when it comes down to the fact of sitting down and really dealing with our heart, or dealing with the matters of the heart, or dealing with our life, we just can't and won't do it. We just can't and won't do it. Because it's not in our cycle. It's not in the eating and peeing and pooping and taking care of the kids and earning a living and then back to peeing and pooping and eating and taking care of the kids. And it just goes around and around and around. It's just a cycle. Our lives are more about a cycle than a life. We think we're here to obtain a life, to go out and earn a living, make a lot of money, and obtain a lifestyle that would give us a sense of happiness and freedom and da 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 and all that other garbage that we want to think is popular. We never think of we're here to attain. What have you attained in this lifetime? What have you attained that is meaningful? What have you attained that is, shall we say, beyond corporate mentality? The pedestrian mind corporate mentality. Nothing. And it's because of this convolution in our mind, our convolution from our mind that is only reading from our emotionality, that we find the difficulties we find and the avenues of difficulties that we find. I can't change that for you. You're going to have to decide whether or not you want to continue to live in this manner or not. And it depends on who you are, if you want to live in that manner. Now, most people will never question it because they don't have the mental acuity to do it, nor are they very much concerned about anything other than settling down and being comfortable. And in living in that way, I lost my life years and years ago. So, Jack, my advice to you is you need to be in this grind, and you need to be in it and grind away till you can't stand it anymore. Until you just look at it and go, I can't stand living this way anymore. And then maybe, just maybe, slightly, you might venture off and do something else, something more profound with your life. And I would hope you would. I really would. Slim chance, though. I'm telling you the truth, slim chance. Not because you can't, because you won't. And that's, you're going to be your dilemma. It isn't because you can't. It is only because you won't. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's not that we can't do it. We lose our interest to do it. Lhasa said, do the difficult before it becomes impossible. And my students, my friends, everybody I know just doesn't understand that statement. Last question comes from Don. He lives here. Yeah, in Watsonville. I have a frustration. I'm afraid of the answer. I know you always shoot straight, so give it to me. Will humanity change, Don? No, Don. Humanity as a whole will not change. And no, it will not. If you look at our history, it repeats. Humanity just repeats itself over and over and over and over again in the confines of its emotional premise, which is the collective unconscious of hate and fear. You can provoke a person to hate like that. You cannot provoke a person to love. Everybody is very suspicious of love. Everybody. What do you mean you love me? What do you mean by that? I have people who I have married in my day, you know, in ceremony, who to this day, after years of being married, the woman will tell me, he won't tell me he loves me. He can't say it to her. Saying I love you, well, that's even hard for some people. So, no, we're not evolving. We're evolving in our technology. We're evolving, hopefully, at least I hope we are, in science. I only look at little bits and pieces of it here. But we certainly are in technology. And how do we use that technology? Well, we use it to kill, like Ahmad. I kill you. We're only interested in killing and defending ourselves and becoming the biggest bully on the planet. We never see the meaning of love and what it can do for the world, much less for ourselves. So when you ask these questions, and I'm asked, Don, quite a bit, what do you think will happen to the world? I kind of go along with Jacques Cousteau. He said any organism that overpopulates implodes upon itself. And I go with that. We are imploding upon ourselves. This summer was the hottest summer ever. But to the government, the president, the Congress, all of these nitwits, this is just normal. This is just the way it is. It has nothing to do with our actions. And it's all about money and power and all of that. And when you're rich, you can afford to have air conditioning wherever you want it, and stay as cool as you want to be cool. But when you're one of us that doesn't have all of that money to do the things that we'd like to do to cushion the blow of humanity upon the, shall we say, the environment, we just don't get that, do we? I'm out of here. There you are, John. Thanks for asking. Please forgive me. And thank you all, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. I hope you will join me again. Forgive me, eh? Namaste.